Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your great love to us. And I thank you that you determined that you would save us through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. You determined that you would do that by faith. Anyone who would put their faith and trust in your Son, in your perfect Son, the one who died for us and rose again, the one who bare the sins of the whole world in his body on the tree, if we would simply come to him for the forgiveness of sins, ask him to forgive us and save us, and believe the promise, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You promise to save us and forgive us. I thank you, God, that you made salvation a free gift, but it cost your Son dearly. And I pray that as believers that you would help us to love you for that. Lord Jesus, you said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I pray that we would learn how to do that through your word. I know your Spirit will help us both learn and walk with you. And so I do pray that you would help us with that today. Dear God, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit to minister the word of God in the message this morning to the church. I pray for my dear wife, fill her with your Spirit and use her as she relays the message in sign. What a blessing it is, God, to know that your word has gone forth already in the adult Sunday school hour, in the children's Sunday school hour. Your Holy Spirit is already working through that word that was shared. We have lessons that we've learned, and I pray it help us to draw closer to you. Oh God, make this church pleasing in your sight. Help us to be good examples of those who love you, and also to care about this lost and dying world, to care about our city, about our friends, about our neighbors, about our co-workers, about our family, and do what we can, dear God, to represent the gospel by the way that we live, but also in sharing the gospel through word and sign, dear God, as you have provided for us. And so, Father, help us this morning to be careful to thank you and praise you. We do ask these things in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. All right. Through faith. That's what the Christian life's about. It's lived through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so as the Bible goes on to say, as ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, what? So walk ye in him. So we get saved by faith, and what? We walk by faith, don't we? Amen. And we live this life through faith. And so here for a few moments in Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to look at what has been become known as the hall of faith, and looking at living this Christian life. And we consider, first of all, as we look through faith, went too far there, as I usually do there. Through faith, first of all, number one, through faith, we look for heaven. Through faith, we look for heaven. And we'll go on down here a little farther in Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 9, there, the Bible talking about Abram says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham is looking for a place to live. God had called him out of his homeland, Ur of the Chaldees, and into the land of Canaan. He looked for a city which hath foundations. Now, the Bible tells us that, so we know that it's true. Why was Abraham looking for a city that had foundations? Did God specifically tell him that? Maybe. We're not told. Was it because Abraham lived in a place where it was made buildings with foundations and stuff? So if God's leading him to a place to live, then he was just looking for a place, you know, that had foundations that God prepared for him. But either way, we know that he was looking for a place that had foundations. He didn't plan on being in a tent all his life. But the Bible says he sojourned in the land of promise there, dwelling in tabernacles or tents. And by the way, Abraham in this land, in this life, never got out of a tent as far as we know. He dwelt in a tent the rest of his life. But he knew that God had great things for him. And he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Very likely by faith God had revealed to him, you know, there's going to be a great place in heaven. I've got a great place for you. And it's wonderful to think about to think about heaven as our home. I remember as a young child, I had some strange dreams. Anybody ever have strange dreams when you're young, when you're a young child? And I had some strange dreams. My wife will get a kick out of this when I've told her this one before. As a little kid, I remember going to the grocery store shopping. Mom would take us with her at times, and there was eight of us kids, and she had a carload many times. The store was 25 miles away, up and down the hills and over the valleys and through the woods, and we would go to the grocery store there, get about 2 weeks worth of supply of groceries, and come home, so you'd have to make that long trip back and forth. But we'd come down the toward the river, toward the bridge there. And I used to have this dream that I was just a little kid, that Mom would be driving, and I'd be in the car there, and she'd be driving just like everything's just fine and dandy. And just before you got to the river, the bridge, the road did a corkscrew and turned upside down. And then as you went across, you were upside down going across the river on the bridge. I don't know why. I'm just telling you, all right? This is what I dreamed, all right? And then it'd make that corkscrew on the other side. You'd be right side up, and you'd go back up the hill. And my mom was just like nothing ever happened, you know. And I was scared, hanging onto the car there and such. And strange dreams that we have. I used to have this one dream that this won't be strange dream day too long, okay? had this one dream that somebody's bad after you is able to jump, you know, and fly. Or stay up in the air, you know, longer than, almost like you're defying gravity, you know. Just weird dreams as a kid. I don't dream a whole lot as an adult, but just weird dreams as a kid I remember that stuck in my mind. But I just want to tell you, you know, that we have our son, our grandson Benjamin. Some of you have seen him on Facebook playing the violin and such. And he's getting pretty good at it. And I never learned to play any musical instrument except for the kazoo. Some of you know what that is, but and wasn't very good on that. But I look forward to heaven, you know, because then I'm going to be up there. I'm going to be floating on that cloud, you know, just floating on a cloud and playing that harp, you know, just defying gravity. Isn't that what heaven's going to be like? Just up there floating in a cloud somewhere, like that little mist you see on it, maybe on a cool morning going up and just floating. Absolutely not. Heaven is nothing like that. Listen, we're going to a place that has foundations. I mean, you can feel heaven, okay? And that's where we're going, believers are going to live for all of eternity. And it's going to be a wonderful place. The Bible tells us about that. In matter of fact, when God's done with this place, listen, he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. He's going to redo this place. In Revelation 21 and verse 1, John says, he's seeing a vision. Now, John is on the Isle of Patmos. Nero has abandoned him there, or Diocletian, I forget which one, to get my years mixed up. But anyway, the Roman emperor has banished him to the Isle of Patmos, and because he doesn't like Christians, and John is, you know, pretty much they're starving and thirsty, no doubt. But God shows him this vision, and he writes the whole book of Revelation while he is exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And in Revelation 21:1, John writes, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." You know, when a bride gets adorned for her husband, she dresses up and looks really nice. And I want to tell you something. That new heaven and new earth and that new city coming down out of the heaven, they're going to be really nice, okay? And it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful place. It's a place where we will live forever with our Lord. This earth as we know it is going to be melted down and purged from the effects of sin. Second Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 tells us that. "But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." So, in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter has just taught that in the past, God destroyed the world with a flood. You remember that in the Bible? Noah and such, God destroyed the world and told Noah about that. And Peter writes that by that same word, God is going to destroy this world by fire, not by water. Remember what the rainbow was? By the way, the rainbow, the symbol of the rainbow has been stolen today. And that wasn't God's intention for the rainbow. God's intention for the rainbow was he was not going to judge the earth anymore. And it's no longer going to be flooded. But it is going to be destroyed by fire. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. And then Peter goes on to say in 2 Peter 3:10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." That day he's going to do all that. "In which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." Did you hear that? See, the Bible doesn't say the earth started with a big bang, but it says it ends with one. Amen. And God made it, and God's going to destroy it with a great noise and a fervent heat. And this place is going to be melted down. But they say, "Well, that doesn't sound very good." Well, it wouldn't be very good but Peter also wrote 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for" what? "New heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness." There's going to be ground that we can walk on. Just like we have heavens now, a sky where the birds fly and the clouds are, and another heaven above that where the planets are, there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. I don't know if there'll be planets or not there also, but there's going to be new heavens and a new earth. All this for eternity. What a wonderful thing that's going to be. And by faith, we look for heaven. It's a beautiful place. Revelation 22 talks about the throne of God being in that great city, and says that out from underneath the throne of God comes a pure river of water of life, flows from the throne of God. How beautiful I'll bet that is. You know, we could probably, I'm sure we can take a glass and just dip it right into that river and just take a nice big drink. And wonderful. He says also in Revelation 22 that the tree of life is there, bearing 12 manner of fruit, yielding fruit every month. Sounds like we might be keeping time in heaven. This bears its fruit every month, and that's a wonderful thing. And you know what? I bet that fruit tastes good. Amen. I bet it's good for you, and we're gonna enjoy eating of that fruit. What a wonderful place. But you know the best thing about heaven is gonna be who's there. Amen. It's going to be that we get to see our Lord Jesus Christ. And we get to spend eternity worshiping Him and loving Him and serving Him and walking with Him and talking with Him in a way that we only dream about now. And it's going to be a wonderful time. In Revelation 21 and verse 3, John writes, "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God.'" You think it'd be wonderful? That's going to be wonderful. And I like another one of the great things about heaven is what's not there. Amen. I mean, that's just about as good, if not as good as what is there. Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And not only tears, but, "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow." I mean, there won't even be, usually before we cry, we get a little bit sorrowful, then it builds up to a tear. There won't even be that which could build up to tears. There'll be no more, wipe all tears from their eyes. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow, nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. See, all those things are connected to this life and this earth because it has been sin cursed. It's cursed by our sin, but none of that's going to be in heaven. not a bit of it. Not a hint of that in heaven. And what a wonderful place that is going to be with our Lord there. This earth is going to be destroyed. It's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. Peter had talked about the flood, and he said men are willingly ignorant of the flood. See, God destroyed the world once, and by the way, He left plenty of evidence for us that He did that. And He says, just like I destroyed it once, I'm going to destroy it again. Not with water. Promise never do that again. But with fire, I will do it, and then I'll make a new heaven and a new earth. I think about the evidence that there's so much evidence that God has left us that there's been a worldwide flood. By the way, if you have the internet, just get on and look up evidence for a worldwide flood. Oh my goodness, there's plenty of evidence for a worldwide flood. We find fossils and sea creatures in rock layers that cover all the continents. For example, most of the rock layers in the walls of the Grand Canyon, more than a mile above sea level, contain marine fossils. Fossilized shellfish are even found in the Himalayas. All over the earth, we find marine fossils. What a wonderful testimony, just like God said, at one time, this globe was covered with water. It's just like God said. Giant clamshells are found throughout the Smoky Hill chalk deposits in Kansas. And there are sometimes more than 4 feet in diameter. While in Colorado, these giant clams are found nearly 9 feet in length and thought to be the largest. Now, that's a big clam, isn't it? Some of you are thinking, that'd be a few good meals if you like clams. But these clam shell fossils are found in the closed position. In the closed position. Now, a little bit about clams. In order for a clam shell to be closed, the clam must be alive. The muscle inside the clam shell holds the clam shell closed.
That's why when the clam dies, the shell opens up. So in order for these giant clams like this to be fossilized in the closed position, that means they had to be buried quickly. And there they are. What would do that? Well, a great flood, of course. And the sediment was dropped over them quickly, and we find those clams fossilized, shells closed, and just multiple witnesses that God has destroyed this earth by a flood. And by the way, anybody who denies it is willingly ignorant, Peter says. They're willingly ignorant of the flood. We watched one series on that a while ago, and the man who did the series flew in a plane up over the Grand Canyon and over the area there, and it just looked like you could tell. He said, now doesn't that look like a flood? Look! You can imagine the great change in terrain and the water streaming and flowing off as it drained off, all the changes it would make as it drained from the earth. And boy, you just look at that, and it just looks like a worldwide flood. There's just so much evidence there. Through faith, we look for heaven, and you know, one day. We're not going to be able to, we have faith now, but faith is what? It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, what? Not seen. Things not seen. But one day, guess what? We're going to see it. We're going to see it. We're going to leave, in a sense, faith behind. Because we'll be walking by sight then. We sing one of the songs, Meet Me There. And one of the verses goes, here our fondest hopes are vain, dearest links are rent in twain, but in heaven no throb of pain, meet me there. By the river sparkling bright, in the city of delight, where our faith is lost in sight, meet me there. You see, we won't need faith. We won't. That'd be like me saying right now, I want you to believe. I want you to believe this microphone's here. Just have faith. Just believe this mic. You say, well, preacher, you're going crazy. It's right there. I can see it. Exactly. I can touch it. I can feel it. You don't need faith to know this microphone's here. And guess what? After we get to heaven, we don't need faith. It's lost in sight. But we're going to have joy. We live by faith now. Amen. And we look forward to that coming. So through faith, we look for heaven. And then secondly, through faith, we live for heaven. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. Look at verse 5 in Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated. He should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Here we have two people, what? That are living for God by faith. And they are living for eternal things. Abel obtained, he obtained witness that he was righteous. If you might remember in that story, where Cain and Abel bring an offering. And Abel brought an offering from the flock. He brought an animal sacrifice. But Cain, what did he bring? He brought, you know, of the best of his fruits and vegetables and such. And reading the context, this was a particular offering that should have been a blood sacrifice because it was dealing with sin. And God had taught Adam that and Eve by bringing them that coat that he made from an animal when they had sinned against God and were naked and hiding, and God slew an animal and brought them that coat, a picture of how Jesus Christ would be slain one day for the sins of the whole world. And Abel brought an animal sacrifice like he was supposed to, but what? Cain didn't. Cain brought what he wanted to brought. Well, God should just accept God, and we hear this all the time, God should just accept the best that I have. Ever hear that talking to somebody when you ask about if you're going to heaven? Well, I do the best that I can do. Well, I just do my best. That's all anybody can do. Listen, many people have tried to do their best, and yet what? Jesus had to come and die for the whole world, didn't he? That means, guess what? That means our best wasn't enough, okay? Why would God have to settle for your best or my best when his son is perfect and he died for us? You see, he doesn't.
God is perfectly righteous, and it takes a perfect righteous sacrifice to pay for your sins and my sins. And he offers that to all through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, these had lived, Abel and Enoch had lived for God. Enoch was a godly man. He had this testimony that he pleased God. He lived for God. And what a blessing that is. We think about that word, the testimony in the Bible, and the word of being a witness. We have that idea, that word witness, especially in the New Testament, has the idea of being a martyr. Martyro is the Greek word. You know, a martyr lives for something. A martyr, what? He lives and dies, he or she, he generic, lives or dies, what? For something greater than their own physical life. They got something greater to live for than just this physical life on earth. What did the Apostle Paul say at one point? Neither count I my life dear unto my own self, that I may what? Finish my course with joy. Paul said, there's something more important than my physical life. And it's eternal life, and it's living for God now, that we may have an eternal impact on others. What a blessing. Through faith, we live for heaven. All these that in this chapter of Hebrews, verse 13, Hebrews 11, these all died in faith. Who's he talking about there in Hebrews 11, 13? He's talking about Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob at that point. And he says, they all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. God had promised them great things, many in things which related to eternity. They hadn't seen them yet. But they knew they were coming because God promised them. And the Bible says in Hebrews 11, 14, what? They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And it was obvious to those who were around him, what did you say you left Ur of the Chaldees for, Abram? You were rich over there and had a house and all that. Now you're running around in a tent, you know, living in tents. And by the way, Abraham, and then he eventually became rich in Canaan and such, and still lived in tents. What's up, Abram? Well, he was living for things greater than this life. And their lives showed that they lived by faith. The way that they lived clearly showed they were living for the next life. Think about it. Abel sacrificed to a God he'd never seen. Enoch walked with a God whom he had never seen. The Bible says in Genesis 5:22, Enoch walked with God. And then in Genesis 5:24. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. The Bible in Genesis 5, in that area there, talks about a whole bunch of people that lived and says, they lived so long, and then he died. And he lived so long, begat so many children, then he died. And it comes to Enoch, says how long he lived, and how many children such he begat. He begat children, but it says, and when it comes time to says he died, it says, and he was not, for God took him. God decided, you know, Enoch, I'm just going to call you on up here. I'm going to go take you up without dying. And what a wonderful picture that is. We know that picture is a rapture. We'll talk about that in a minute. But Abram was called to a place which he should have to receive for inheritance. Verse 8, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. Abram left Ur in search of a city he'd never seen. That's faith. That's faith. That's walking by faith. What a blessing. What a blessing. By the way, Sarah, look at verse 11. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because he judged him faithful who had been promised. Now, if I remember correctly, Sarah was at least 90 years old when she had that first child. I mean, she'd never been pregnant. She'd never had it. She didn't know what that was like. And she was past the age of having children. And you know what? By faith, God gave her strength to have that child. By faith. Through faith, you see, we live for heaven. That's the way we live this Christian life. We live for heaven. And then thirdly, through faith, we leave for heaven. Through faith, we leave for heaven. Think about Abel, verse 4. He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Look at the end of the verse. He says, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel's life speaks even though he's dead. Even though he's dead. Which we know he's not dead. He's with God. He was among those who had walked with God. And we remember that sacrifice that he gave. That was a picture of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us and rose again, that we could be saved. We think about that suffering Savior in Genesis chapter 3. God is addressing them each for their sin, the devil and Adam and Eve. As he is addressing the devil in Genesis 3:15, he says, I will put enmity, there's going to be an enemy here, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. One's going to come from this woman, a seed. By the way, there's only ever one seed that came from a woman, and that's Jesus Christ. And he says, it shall bruise thy head. He's going to give you a mortal wound, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And you're going to give him, in comparison, a superficial wound. Why? Because his death, he's coming out of the grave. You can't stop him. And he's that one sacrifice for sins forever, Hebrews says. Hebrews 10:4, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. And so we leave this world through faith, by through faith in Jesus Christ. You might have seen the bumper sticker, Jesus Christ, don't leave earth without him, What's the Bible? Basic instructions before leaving earth, okay? And don't leave home, don't leave here without Jesus. Paul was trusting in what Jesus did. Probably the greatest Christian that ever lived, the Apostle Paul. And he writes, he talked about all those good things. Some people were getting exalted and thinking that they were greater than others because of talents they had, perhaps, and good deeds they'd done. And the Apostle Paul rebuked them for that in many places, in Corinthians and such that we're learning. But Paul was talking about some good things that he'd done. He says, if anybody could boast, he says, I'm going to speak as a fool for a little bit. Let me boast for a while. I'll tell you some things. Since you want to boast about things that you've done, Paul says, I'll tell you about some things I've done. And he went down through the list, about being beaten and being stoned and being persecuted and yet being greatly used of God. And then we got all done with that, the good things that God enabled him to do. You know what he said about those? In Philippians 3:8, he said, yea, and doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. All the good things that he was doing, by the way, which the law said he was supposed to do. He kept the commandments as best he could, and probably he did that better than most. He brought the right sacrifice and such. When he'd sinned, he was doing the best that he could do. He says, I take all that and I count it as waste, because I want a different righteousness. What was that? It was righteousness that comes only through faith in Jesus. And we read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 and 21. The Bible, speaking about believers, says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And here's the key. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The moment we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we receive the righteousness which is of God by faith. We don't deserve to be called righteous, just as Jesus Christ didn't deserve to die the death of a sinner. But He did that for you and me. He did that for you and me. He took all my sin that I might put on all His righteousness simply by trusting in Him. I'm going to heaven because of what He did. I'm going to heaven on His coattails, not because of anything I've done. Because I trusted in Him as my Savior. And by the way, that's the only way anybody's going to heaven. Is by trusting in Christ and trusting in Him alone in this dispensation. That's for sure. There are only two ways believers of this age get leave for heaven. You know that how through all that is? First of all, it's through death, like Abel. Abel is still with God, and he's one of those who lived for God. He obtained a good report. And the other, of course, is like Enoch we read about there in verse 5. Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Well, before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch was taken out. God came and got him. And you know what? God's promised to do that with the church. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, what's it say? For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. He's coming back. We don't know when that is. Everything that needs to be fulfilled for that to happen has already happened. The next thing on God's calendar, as far as his intervening in this earth in that way, is the coming of the Lord in a rapture. Amen. And to take the church out of here. And we may see that. That'd be okay with me, amen? That'd be okay. And Enoch pictures that very rapture. So through faith, we leave for heaven. Looking to the Lord, living this life, I was thinking about that. Keeping our eyes on Jesus. And we drive the bus. We have to drive what's called the Smith system, is a way to drive safely, and it has some letters that stand for some things, and you remember by all. All good kids like milk, and the first one is all. It means aim high in steering. Look far ahead as you drive. Look as far ahead as you can when you drive, and then work your way back. Aim high in steering. Get the big picture. Look around. You know, notice that dog being walked over there that got off the leash and got away. Notice that deer that's about to cross the road up there, that ball rolling out. Get the big picture. Leave yourself an out. If you see a traffic jam up there, where are you going to go? What are you going to do if you get in a pinch in some area? Do you have an escape route? Is there another lane you can go into? Is there some place you can get off if you see trouble coming? Leave yourself an out. And then make sure they see you. You're coming up to a road, you got a car pulled up, you think, well, I've got the right of way. Well, you might have the right of way, but that don't mean they see you. You look at that driver, do they see you coming? If they see you, then you know, unless they're crazy, they're not going to pull out in front of you. So make sure they see you. And I've actually had in my big yellow bus, my 40-foot, the bus I drive is as long as my house. It's an 84-passenger bus. I've actually had people pull out in front of me from a stop sign. I remember one just pulled right out in front of me, and it just went like that. I think, yeah, I mean, what are you going to do, you know? And I thanked the Lord that I was watching. I was back far enough that I knew she didn't see me. He wasn't looking. Pulled right out, ran the stop sign. And crazy. But looking ahead, we live this life the best. We're going to get through this life the best if we're looking ahead. Amen. If we're looking to Jesus if we're looking to where we're going and getting ready for that place. I know we're going there if we're saved, but we also want to live to please Him. What is it we want to hear? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't believe there's a believer in their right mind that doesn't want to hear that. Amen. And that's what we live for, is that we would hear Him say that. And very quickly, and I'm just going to mention these. We say, well, how do I live by faith? Well, how do I live by faith? Number one, perceive the Word of God. Look at Hebrews 11:3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Did you hear that? The worlds were framed how? Oh, well, billions and billions of years. A long time ago there was nothing. There was no space and no time and nothing. And all of a sudden, no space and no time and nothing violently expanded and blew up and became space, time, and something. If you believe that, you have more faith than I do, okay? How do we know the worlds are framed by the Word of God? Well, just consider Genesis chapter 1 for a moment. And God said, verse 3. And God said, verse 6. And God said, verse 11. And God said, verse 14. And God said, verse 20. And God said, verse 24. And God said, verse 26. I think the worlds are framed by the Word of God. How about you? Aren't you glad that the Bible, you just use a normal, plain interpretation and you'll get what God has for you. When He's using illustration, you can figure that out in the text. And when He's talking plain and straight, when the plain sense makes sense, don't try to make any other sense. Amen? And thank God. Just perceive the Word of God. But one person said, what does thou shalt not mean to you anyway? What does thou shalt mean to you? You know? You see, our problem, most of our problem with the Bible is not what we don't understand. Most of our problem is with what? What we do understand. If we just take care of what we know, God will take care of the rest. And He'll let us know what we need to know. So number one, perceive the Word of God. They understood it was framed by the Word of God. Why? Because the Bible says so. And we believe it. That's why. By the way, there's plenty more proof beyond that. But frankly, we don't need any more than that. And we thank God for that. Number one, perceive the Word of God. Number two, believe the Word of God. Look at verse 6. Without faith is it impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God, what? Must believe that He is. You see, if you don't believe this Word, it's not going to help you. Hebrews, the book of Hebrews says, the Word did not profit them, not being mixed with faith. We have to believe it. We have to believe it. Look at verse 13. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, what's it say? And were persuaded of them. How about you? I'm persuaded this book is true. You see, I'm not the judge of this book. This book is the judge of me. Amen. This book tells, I'm not looking for what's wrong with this book. I'm looking for what's wrong with me from this book. This book is my judge. Jesus said what? The Word's what's going to judge us in the last day. Believe the Word of God. He is an omnipresent, all-powerful, all-knowing God. Thank God He loves us. And by the way, this is the owner's manual for life. Amen. He's the Creator. And then finally what? Receive the Word of God. Look at verse 13. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and what? Embraced them. You know what they said? This is for me. This is for me. I'm going to hang on to it. I'm going to live for it. Everybody around me may think I'm crazy. No, nobody may want to follow me, but you know what? This is mine. And they embraced it. That's receiving it. See, believing it, being persuaded that God does know best, and then receiving that Word. You see, Jesus died for the whole world, didn't He? But that doesn't do any good, what? Until you make him your Savior. Until I make him my Savior. By calling upon him to forgive me of my sins and take me to heaven when I die. By the way, I did that over 30 years ago, and he kept that promise. That's when he saved me. Been changing my life ever since. Got a whole lot of work to do yet. But thank God that He is faithful and He's with us all that way. And we can be drawing closer to Him day by day, every day. And through faith, we do that. He gives us the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, the church, the fellowship that we have together here. All these things. Why? To get us ready. Did you know that just as we want that first meeting of Jesus Christ to be face-to-face, to be wonderful, did you know that He does too? He does too. He wants us to be living for Him when He comes. And He's here to help us by His Spirit and by His Word do just that. Amen. And you say, well, what if I'm not, but I'm born again, but I'm born again, preacher? Well, you'll be ashamed. If I'm not, I'll be ashamed. That won't change His love for me. I sure won't feel very good when I see Him for the first time. That'd be for sure. But listen, nobody has to think it. Nobody has to be there. And we can walk with Him. And we can have that meeting be a wonderful meeting that first time that we see His face. Thank God we have such wonderful things to look forward to as believers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for Your word this morning. I thank You for this church. I thank You for all that have come here this morning. And I pray, dear God, that Your word, as it's gone forth, You are pleased, dear God, when we believe in You. When we believe Your word, when we perceive, we understand it, we read it, and Your Holy Spirit just convicts us of some sin. And our heart says, I need to quit that. Or maybe it's a sin that, because it's something good that we're not doing that we should. And we can say to our own selves, God, I need to do that. I haven't been doing that, God. Whatever it might be. And You can help every believer, Father, to get that right with You. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, mentioned this morning in the Sunday school lesson. We thank You and praise You for that. And dear God, I pray that as we share the gospel about, dear God, that others might be saved. And I, as I look around, I know that everybody in here has heard the gospel message. And dear God, if there's any questions, I pray they just pick up a track and read it, or come and talk to me or one of our members. And if there's any doubt about whether going to heaven, dear God, and we can show them. And Your Spirit, just give boldness to do that, Father, if that's the case. And Lord, we just want to be faithful to You and serve You. Reach as many as we can and be one among those Christians that love You, and that the world will see that we do love You by the way that we live. Oh, please help us, dear God, in that we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, Brother Charles.